This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's Wednesday. You're halfway through the week. What does a week even mean anymore? Anyways, it's April 15th. After the news, we'll hear an interview with a professor of rheumatology medicine at Northwestern about using hydroxychloroquine with COVID-19 patients as well as lupus patients. President Donald Trump is ordering the administration to halt funding for the World Health Organization in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. On Tuesday, Trump claimed the organization did not handle its response of the virus well and said his administration would conduct a review into whether the organization was responsible for, in his words, mismanaging and covering up the spread of COVID-19. I don't know about you, but I've definitely been indulging in a few more drinks since all of these stay-in-place orders have been issued. An extra glass of wine when I'm done working, a couple of beers, and a virtual Zoom happy hour with friends. Here with more stats on the relationship between alcohol and the coronavirus pandemic is Radio MD's Scott Webb.
Americans are excessively eating, drinking, smoking pot, and playing video games while quarantined. At least that's according to a recent Forbes article. In the case of drinking, sales figures back this up. In the third week of March, Nielsen reports that alcohol sales were up 55%, wine sales up 66%, and liquor sales were up 75%. Many Americans are now having their alcohol delivered. Boston-based alcohol delivery platform Drizly saw a sales increase of 461% in the final week of March. Whether these figures are due to restaurant and bar closures or the fact that drinking alone during COVID-19 does not have the usual stigma is a bit unclear. One thing is for certain, though. Americans are drinking more during this time, and proud of it. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Every few days, we're hearing about new possible treatments for COVID-19. What about our own plasma? Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more on that.
So as we report on potential treatments for COVID-19, one treatment that has garnered attention is known as convalescent plasma therapy. A story in Discovery's Edge, Mayo Clinic's research magazine, says the approach involves giving patients an infusion of antibody-rich plasma from people who have recovered from COVID-19. The thinking is that an infusion of convalescent plasma may boost a generalized response known as passive immunity until a patient develops a strong, targeted ability to fight the virus. The immediate hope in the current pandemic is that convalescent plasma may be effective in treating people with the most severe disease. The treatment may also help people who are only moderately sick from getting sicker. Currently, the Mayo Clinic, in conjunction with the FDA, is taking the lead on these trials. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
And let's wrap up the news on a good note. I think one of the best things I've read this week was a blog on WebMD titled 27 Ways to Show Love During Social Distancing. It's a sweet little list on ways to show affection to those both near and far. The list includes mailing someone tea, sending a text about a favorite memory, watching movies together online, or sending a care package of bath supplies. You can find a link to the list in our show notes. Hydroxychloroquine has recently been touted as an effective treatment for COVID-19, leaving patients with conditions like lupus facing a severe shortage of the medication they rely on. Radio MD's Melanie Cole recently sat down with Dr. Rosalind Ramsey Goldman, a professor of rheumatology medicine at Northwestern, about balancing the use of hydroxychloroquine between COVID-19 and lupus patients.
So now, Dr. Ramsey Goldman, there have been recent claims from several countries, including the United States, that hydroxychloroquine may be used to treat COVID-19. Are there any studies to support this? And what did those studies show? Is it safe and effective treatment for COVID? What do we know as of now?
Well, according to the CDC guidelines, there are no U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, approved drugs specifically for the treatment of patients with COVID-19. At present, clinical management includes infection prevention and control measures and supportive care, including supplemental oxygen and mechanical ventilatory support when indicated. An array of drugs approved for other indications, as well as several investigative drugs, are being studied in several hundred clinical trials that are underway across the globe. The CDC, the American College of Rheumatology, and the FDA are providing guidance for the treatment of COVID-19 with hydroxychloroquine or a related medication called chloroquine, because these medicines, as well as other agents, have demonstrated antiviral activity against SARS-CoV-2 in tissue culture. These findings, as well as relative tolerability of hydroxychloroquine in patients taking the drug for FDA-approved indications, has raised interest in these agents as potential therapeutic options in the current COVID-19 pandemic. A high-profile report from France described using hydroxychloroquine alone and also in combination with an antibiotic called azithromycin in patients with COVID-19. And this study was made public in March of this year. Both of these drugs were then subsequently publicized as therapeutic options for patients with COVID-19. There are serious flaws in the methodology interpretation of this data, even though it was quickly publicized. At this time, no currently available data for randomized clinical trials to inform guidance on the use, dosage, and duration of hydroxychloroquine, either for treatment or prophylaxis of the infection. Having said that, hydroxychloroquine is under investigation in clinical trials for pre-exposure or post-exposure prophylaxis of the SARS-CoV-2 infection or COVID-19, and also for treatment of patients with mild, moderate, and severe COVID-19 infection. In the United States, there are trials going on with these drugs, and more information on these trials can be found at clinicaltrials.gov website. Because this medication, hydroxychloroquine, is being considered for treatment for the infection, there are shortages of this drug, as there are relatively few regular manufacturers, and we have a history of shortages and price spikes for this medication in the United States. The FDA just yesterday issued an emergency use authorization for hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, allowing the drugs to be donated to the Strategic National Stockpile to be distributed and prescribed by doctors to hospitalized teen and adult patients with COVID-19 as appropriate, even if a clinical trial might not be available or feasible at that site. Therefore, we have to balance the resource allocation between those patients who need these medications for their approved FDA indication management of their underlying disease, while still working toward the needs of the community as a whole in terms of getting a treatment that might work in the current pandemic.
Since the drug has shown some benefit, would you recommend it for the critically ill with COVID-19? What are your recommendations for the allocation of the drug during this pandemic? You spoke about it a little bit, but as we're concluding, how should rheumatologists balance the supply for possible use and testing with its known and critical use in the treatment of lupus?
We certainly understand the concern across, the individual patient as well as for society. And based on the principles that the American College of Rheumatology and other rheumatology professional and patient organizations have issued statements providing guidance, and what we are suggesting is that we highlight, as the advocates for our patients, the need for critical access to hydroxychloroquine for our patients, but we also ask the policymakers to work together with us and the patient communities to ensure the availability of these drugs for all who might need them. I think that the important place is to use hydroxychloroquine in the setting of the current COVID-19 infection in a controlled setting. And for our hospital at Northwestern Medicine, it does have a place in the plan for treatment of patients who are hospitalized for the infection. And it includes critically ill patients hospitalized patients or those who have risk factors, and all of this is done under the supervision of a physician to monitor the dosing and to monitor for side effects so that it can be done safely. If a rheumatologist has a facility that has access to a clinical trial, I think that this would also be an ideal place to provide this medication for the infection, so that not only do we ensure the safety of the individual who's receiving the medication, but also that we learn how to use it so that we can refine our recommendations moving forward.
That was an excerpt from a podcast with Northwestern Medicine. Find out more about Dr. Ramsey Goldman and all of the doctors at Northwestern at northwestern.edu. This has been Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want someone to talk to or saw some good news happen near you, email us at COVID19daily@radiomd.com. That's COVID19daily@radiomd.com. We'll be back Thursday and hope you'll be right there with us. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.